Sandy Pryor joined me on this episode of Behind the Pink Ribbon. She was diagnosed in July 2019 at the age of 57 with stage 1 lobular breast cancer. Sandy shares her personal journey from diagnosis to treatment. She talks about the power of trusting our instincts and intuition, as well as using our voice and maintaining our power over our bodies and lives. Take a listen in as Sandy shares her story. Welcome to Behind the Pink Ribbon, where we share stories, information, and other content related to breast cancer. My name is Melissa Adams. I am a 12-year genetic breast cancer survivor. I've learned so much through my own journey with breast cancer. I have met some amazing people along the way, many that have become lifelong friends. I have experienced the emotional roller coaster of a breast cancer diagnosis, heartache, anger, frustration, loneliness, and even gratitude. Through this podcast, we will speak to breast cancer survivors, supporters, and healthcare professionals to gain insight and understanding behind the pink ribbon. Welcome to the podcast, Sandy. I am so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the beginning of your breast cancer journey or story or, you know, whatever it is that you like to call it. Where did it start for you? How did it start?
Well, I think it's so interesting that we're talking today because I in no way did I put these together until a couple of days ago. But today's my 1-year anniversary of finding out that I had breast cancer and that call from the doctor.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
That was 1 year. Yes.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, it's, you know, when he's telling me to pull over and I'm like, no, I'm not going to pull over. He's like, pull over. I'm like, no, I'm not pulling over.
Just tell me what because, you got, man.
Yeah, I'm like, you're already saying what you're going to say by telling me to pull
right?
over. So finally I did pull over.
And yeah. He told me. Well, I'm sorry that you were driving because I feel like some people, if they were driving when getting that kind of news, would not be in a good situation. So I'm glad that you did pull over. Even if you already knew.
Yeah, I did pull over, but my first initial thing was like, no, if I pull over, it makes it real.
Yeah,
and if
exactly.
I just pretend like what he's saying isn't true, then I'll just keep, you know. Yes. But
So
it's been 1 year today.
Yeah. So what led up to that phone call? Like, what did you find a lump? Were you doing a self breast exam? Like what was going on? Mammogram?
I had waited on the mammogram and it had been, I don't know, maybe 14 or 15 months, something like that. And I had this inkling that something was wrong. And on the left side, I know it sounds kind of weird, but there was just like a little fleshier part under my arm. And it wasn't on the right, but it was on the left. And three doctors had looked at it and said, really, it's nothing. It's just, you know, like for lack of better else, it's just kind of a fat distribution, so to speak. And I was like, that's just weird. You know, that's weird. And so I had the mammogram and nothing showed up. And I still just was like, something is off here. I just knew that something was wrong. And so I had my doctor order basically a self-pay MRI because I was on insurance that kind of isn't the standard insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more like if there was something. So I didn't necessarily want to alert anybody in case it wasn't anything. And if it was, I guess I was just going to work with it. So he ordered that and I went in for an MRI and actually the first MRI, the machine went down while they put an IV in you and then the machine went down So I was so mad. I was just like frustrated and
I'm sure
and I waited to reschedule that and they had to wait and all that. So then it's like 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh. You had to reschedule it.
Oh, totally had to reschedule it.
Oh
and
my
go
gosh.
To a whole different location.
Oh my
whole
gosh.
Different location. Because they've been, I put that in parentheses, having trouble with that machine. So the point is, don't stop if your gut is telling you that something's off. Because I finally got in there 6 weeks later. They saw something they didn't like. You know, then they do the ultrasound. Then they do the biopsy. And they once they got an ultrasound on there, they saw that. Because the type of cancer I have apparently is not often found in a regular mammogram, which was the last one I had, had not been the 3D or whatever it is that they do now. It had not been that.
Yeah. And I've heard, you know, that the lobular cancer, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't always present as a lump. You know, it's not always detected on, you know,
there was no lump. No, yeah, and there was exactly. no lump. And it's I have dense tissue, you know, I've had to go back once and they're like, I've never had them say anything's wrong, right? I just had to go back and nothing was there and then carry on. So, but this time was different. And it is that, you know, it's that club you don't want to belong to. And oh my goodness, how lucky I feel to have found that at stage one. And I think that's the moral of my story is to trust your instincts.
Well, and I mean, like that is so powerful. Like I'm mm-hmm. always, you know, thinking about how much we always lead or are guided by our head, you know, but sometimes we really just have to trust our gut and our heart. And if something doesn't feel right, to just pursue it.
Yes.
You know, like, I think about what if you hadn't been paying attention to that feeling? You know, that's kind of a scary thought. Not that I want you to go there, but I mean, really, like there are so many things where, you know, people don't pay attention to what it is that they're feeling. And then, you know, it turns out to be something worse.
You're exactly right. Yeah. You are exactly right. And when I turned 50, I started a new work as a coach, and I coach, what you would call an empowerment coach for entrepreneurs and women in business. And a big part of what I teach is to trust your instincts and to, most people use their intuition. They're just not aware, but women especially, although there's a lot of men too, right. But it is like, it's your superpower.
Yes.
I'm so glad that in this instance, I mean, I use it all the time in my work, right? I use it like all around in work. I use it in business. But when it comes to your own health, it's, you know, historically it was like, oh, yeah, oh, I'll get around to that. That kind of thing. No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say more for, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I hear, oh, well, you know, women are more like, oh, I'm not going to go and pursue this. But men are kind of the same too. Like, you know, they have that kind of like macho, like there's nothing wrong with me kind of thing going on. So, yeah, I mean, I kudos to you, first of all, for just, you know, listening to your gut and, you know, obviously taking the tools that you have in your job mm-hmm. and using it for yourself.
You are so right. And two things around that. One is that part under my arm absolutely had nothing to do with it. It's actually had an ultrasound on it and everything. But I almost looked like it was a gift in a weird way because it was just enough on top of everything else. It was kind of like a, hey, look over here, you know, and for that reason, I mean, I feel like that was a big part of why. And one of the things I think is really big is because I was not, even after I went through that and realized that I insisted on the MRI, nobody else was telling me to have that. I insisted on that and insisted that they order it. And if he wasn't going to order it, I was going to find somebody who would. And I went to a Pink Ribbon event. So I was like 2 or 3 months out at this big Pink Ribbon event that happens in Cincinnati here. It's huge. And one of the physicians that got up there said, these are the three things. One is regular checkups, right? I don't remember the third one. But the second one was trust your instincts. And you could have knocked me over in that audience when I looked up on that thing and he said, he goes, I can't tell you how many times it was a physician. And he said that he'd had a 34-year-old woman in there the month before who had known something was wrong. And that was the only clue that something was wrong. And so they went with it and there was something wrong. So he backed up what I was thinking, but hadn't fully embrace how important that was to trust your instincts.
Yeah.
Where some parts of our standard medicine, I kind of do a blending of both allopathic and homeopathic. I kind of blend both. But so much of it takes the power away from us.
Yes.
And as the patient, and gives all the power over to someone else to tell you what's wrong.
100%.
And yes, there's a place for that. And there's also a place for you to speak what you know and stand up for yourself.
Right. Well, and yeah, I mean, I totally 100% agree. And that actually kind of leads me into, two questions I have for you. So one, is there a family history at all of breast cancer?
That's a whole nother story right here, but yes, actually. So when, you know how they test you for all the cancer genes and all that. And I'd been on, 23andMe and a couple of those. And they said I had the BRCA gene. I'm getting to what your question in a roundabout way. The reason I was relying on that is I was adopted, but I know everybody, but I had just assumed, because I did find out that my birth mother had breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
So, but I did grow up knowing that, like most people grow up knowing that and being around that. And all. So I was kind of trusting these outside tests. So I would just want to put a little thing out there. They're not always right. It said I had BRCA gene. Well, I do have a BRCA gene, but there's a bunch of them and it's not one that they care about, the ones that really know. So that's one. I thought I was carrying that and I actually wasn't carrying that BRCA gene. I mean, I had just found that out right at the same time all of this was happening. And yes, there is. And my mother, who I call my mom, she also had breast cancer, but both of my birth mother and my mom's who raised me, that's how I refer to them.
Right.
Both of them had, postmenopausal hormone replacement therapy cancers.
Wow.
And I hadn't, I hadn't taken anything like that. So.
Right. And is there any like family connection between your birth mother and your mom?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I was just kind of curious,
That's a good question. Yeah. No, they're not. They weren't sisters or anything. Okay. I guess that does happen sometimes.
Yeah. I was just kind of curious. I mean, cause it's, it's kind of crazy to think that, your mom, and then also your birth mother had breast cancer, and that postmenopausal, hormone therapy related. Like that's just crazy. Yeah. So
mine is estrogen fed, so that I can't do any of those. They don't want me to do any of them. So that's kind of a bummer in some ways, but you got to pay attention to that.
Absolutely. So what was, what was the, well, first of all, let me ask you this question. What is the genetic mutation that you do have? If you don't have the BRCA mutation, did they find another one? Was it like the PALB2 or the CHEK2 or there are so many at this point, but did they give you the information? Because you said it was wrong on 23andMe, which is kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wrong. It was wrong. And it's, yes, I do have, I guess, one of those genes, but it's not any of the ones that, the Ohio, I can't remember the name of the company that did that, but did the gene. Yeah. So none of the 10, I didn't have a mutation that I'm aware of, or if that's, you asked me that, I'm kind of wondering, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Yeah.
So I feel like, the discovery of the BRCA mutations were first, and that obviously opened the door to discovering more. So my personal feelings, and I am not in any way, shape, or form an expert in this field, but I do feel like there are more mutations that are out there that just haven't been discovered yet. And it just seems, in my opinion, and again, not an expert opinion, that when there's that close of a connection, when it's daughter and mom, that it just seems really far-fetched in my mind that it would not somehow be linked.
Yeah. You know, part of me might not really even want to look at that. I'll be honest with you. And now you've kind of got me like, maybe I do look at that. My checkup is in 2 weeks with the official one with my physician. So okay. I'm glad that you're raising that, because actually, I like that you asked me that question. I'm going to dive deeper on that.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I am I like to look at what I do is I like to investigate things like that. So I don't know if I've just been settling into the healing aspect of this on so many different levels, but I haven't really asked that question, which actually I'm kind of perplexed why I didn't.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is, you know, I mean, you are 1 year out from your diagnosis. You know, I feel like sometimes there's a disconnect between our bodies, our intellect, our emotions, because everything happens so fast that eventually there becomes a point in time where those parts of us start to reconnect and we can, you know, process and conceptualize and all of those things. And I would say that even 13 years out from this, there are still things where I'm like, oh, why didn't I ask that? Or, you know, something starts popping up that I hadn't thought about or, you know, didn't take any action on. So, you know, don't be too hard on yourself for not.
I think what you're saying is very true. And it's kind of, it frustrates me a little bit, but I know that you're right. Yeah. I know that what you're saying is true. I 100% know what you're saying is true. How, what stage were you?
Stage two.
And that was 13 years ago.
13 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do chemo?
No chemo. I did a clinical trial and I was randomized to tamoxifen alone.
Okay.
So, but I would have done the chemo if they had told me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's such a personal decision, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. So what about you? Did you end up, like, what was your course of treatment? Did they recommend a lumpectomy, a mastectomy, unilateral chemotherapy? Like, what did you have to do?
I did a lumpectomy, and since it was stage one and there were no cancer genes of any of the ones they tested for, I chose to not do the tamoxifen.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do I can't think of the name of it right now. I do a orthomolecular, it's a natural blocker, okay, estrogen blocker.
Yeah. I've dropped one of those for a while.
Yeah. I've dropped, like 35 pounds now, and I'm moving a lot again. I had a lot of pain and got through all of that. So I think, you know, I'm still taking weight off slowly but surely. And getting, you know, really in much better shape than I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
And that was another part of my treatment too, was to take it from the inside out like that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's important. You know, obviously if, you know, so I want to tread lightly on this. Because I certainly don't want any of our listeners to, you know, I feel like people are in different spaces, and wherever people are is fine. But there's obviously, like, something happens in our body that just triggers, you know, this breakdown, this miscommunication, you know, for our body to become ill. You know, for me, and the reason why I say that, like, there's just some dis-ease, you know, that's in our body that creates this disturbance. And I think it's always important that we work to fix, obviously, what's on the inside, but also on the outside. You know, I think they go together. Sometimes I feel like that's also a disconnect too, where, you know, there's this idea of getting through the treatments and getting through, you know, that's fixed, but then there's not the other part of it of taking care of oneself, like, outside, right, if that makes any sense.
Right. Well, and it, yeah, for me, it was, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was really about self-care, and it was about taking control of the things that weren't working, and the journey to health on a much deeper level than just I could have taken that, but I don't think just taking that without the self-care. And again, you're asking me my journey with this, and you're so right about everybody. This is such a personal, it's such a personal
journey. Oh, 100%.
You know, I did something that most people probably haven't heard about, because I was working with a functional medicine physician that was really on the front end. And I bought a machine called a T-Zap, a total zap. Mm-hmm. And it heals with frequencies. And that's another way. And I know that sounds kind of out there, but it's just one more way of prevention that I use.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an option that people can look at, and everybody has to make their choice. And you never know if you're making the right one. I think that might be the scariest thing of this whole thing.
Well,
you don't know if the choices that you're making are right. You just don't. Have to do what feels right.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I would agree with that, you know, over and over again, that it is, first of all, it is so personal. Everybody's experience is different. You know, what I did is certainly not going to be right for the next person. You know, I'm happy to always share with people like, oh, these are the things that I've done. You know, if that works for you and if that serves you and you find value in it, go by all means and explore it. But don't feel like, you know, what I've done is anything better than, you know, what somebody else has done. So yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And, you know, you just have to meet yourself where you are.
Right.
And some, in terms of some of these things. So did you end up having to do, did they recommend chemo or radiation or anything like that?
I did radiation. Okay. The type that where they put the little, they insert that, it looked like a rocket, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that done. Let's see, that was twice a day for 7 days.
Okay.
But I did it on a holiday. Or no, it was 5 days, but I did it on a holiday. So it ended up staying in me a couple days longer, but that was okay because they were, you know, great about getting me in and that. I preferred that because it was very specific and it goes exactly where it was. And it wasn't the radiation that goes over that whole part of your body. And that's why I chose that one.
Okay.
Even though twice a day was kind of a pain, it actually ended up being a good choice for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite honestly, I think it's a pain regardless.
Right.
You know, I did every day for 30 days and I was just like, can we just be done with this already?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I thought, yes. I just thought that I would rather just do it like that and get it over with once. And yeah, I mean that, yes. So you're right. You're right. Everybody has to choose what's right for them, certainly around that.
Yeah.
But I was very pleased with the way that I didn't have hardly any side effects or anything from that.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, everybody's so different with that. Like, you know, I hear people that, you know, when I was going to a support group at Gilda's Club in Pittsburgh, I met a lady and, you know, she and I were talking and she had horrendous burns. And I was pink. Like I just looked like I had spent a little bit too much time in the sun in that one specific area. And that was it.
Yeah, I barely had any. I got a little tired by the, like, day four. I had a little bit of tiredness, but okay. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, a year out, you said in 2 weeks you have your follow-up. So what do they recommend? Like, are you seen every year at this point or every 6 months?
Yeah, well, you know, apparently I needed to be in there at 6 months, but COVID happened.
Yeah, COVID.
And we missed it. So I'm behind a couple of months, which made me a little nervous, but they seem to be fine with it.
They didn't want to do like a teletherapy or telemed or whatever with you.
No, because I think they wanted to do, I think I held off on that. It wasn't them.
Yeah.
That was right when everything started and most places were not having appointments. And, this, I think will involve a 3D mammogram and all that. And I think that's what they're more interested in me having.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the telemed is fine for some people, but I definitely think, you know, there are people who, you know, they have to be seen. That's one of my biggest things is, you know, not that I want to go down this rabbit hole, but so many people don't understand that like cancer does not stop because of COVID. You know, people yeah. still have to be treated and they still have to be seen and, you know, it's still all very much real. You know, and it's really important too, because I've seen some pretty scary statistics that, you know, there are more individuals who are, diagnosed with cancer who are actually passing away from COVID. Obviously complications, it's probably dual things, but, or multiple things, but yeah, it was kind of a staggering statistic.
I have stayed away from that. I don't even want to read that, honestly. Yeah. It sounds like I'm in denial, but you're probably right. And oh my goodness, I hadn't even thought about that. Of course, yeah. I can see somebody that's actively in treatment.
Right.
That you definitely would have a lower immune system for sure. Are yeah. they saying anybody who's just previously had it?
No, and I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the source even was. I cannot remember where I got that from. But I was just like, oh, like that's not okay. But I yeah. think it is more people who are currently in treatment. So I did do a podcast with my previous medical oncologist related to cancer and COVID. So if anybody out there is listening and they're concerned, I would highly recommend listening to that episode just to be able to protect yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
So
that is super important right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. just in general, I feel like that's so important, but for somebody that's specifically and actively going through cancer treatments or, you know, any kind of medical treatments, like you have to be cautious and careful. So I have a question. This is really, you know, a year out, I mean, all of this is still like super fresh and, you know, I have to give you kudos, first of all, for being willing to come on the podcast and share your story. Cause that's not always easy, you know, to throw out personal information and something that's still so fresh. So what would you say is like the biggest, if you've had this experience, but what is the biggest lesson that you've learned so far in your journey or story or adventure, whatever you want to call it?
I think it's still the one thing I talked about, which is trust your instincts around everything. Is that what you mean? Is that your question? Like my biggest, that's a biggest lesson is what you mean, right? I'm looking at the big,
yeah. I mean, whatever. This is your answer. It's not mine.
Yeah, I think they're both. Well, I want to make sure that it was the right question, what you were asking, that my answer was correct with that. I still think it's the trust the instinct, because even after you're through the process, you still need to take 100% responsibility for your health and the direction and the outcome and you know, trying to get the best outcome by knowing and doing and reading and making informed decisions along with listening to your physician and the oncologist and everybody else and the pros and cons and weighing those and knowing that you still, I guess, ultimately it's claiming your own power.
Yeah.
And around the whole situation. Before, during, after, it continues on. It's not like, oh, it's over, right? We're still being checked. We're still, you know, at risk. I get all that. And I think that the gift of using your own voice and doing it the way you want to do it is ultimately the biggest lesson/gift.
Yeah, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to use your words, but really, I mean, genuinely, it is oh my gosh. Like, I feel like, when we're kind of thrusted into this, which is genuinely what it is. Like one day you're going about your business and then the next day, you know, whatever happens, your life completely shifts. Even if it's, you know, you find something or you have a concern and, you know, it turns out to be benign, there's still a big shift in your life because you've had this anxiety related to all of this stuff. But in so many instances, I've heard over and over again that people feel like their power, their choices are taken away from them, that their voices aren't heard. And I love that. I mean, I genuinely love that that's one of the biggest lessons and gifts.
It's how I live my life, and it's what I teach, and it's part of who I am, really. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it's true. And I think part of it is the gift of being in your 50s, ladies. I mean, it's like own it, whether it's 40s or 50s or whatever, don't wait that long.
But, so the 50s, you know, are like the new 30s now, right? Like,
I love them. Yeah. But I mean, what I love is that my clients are getting younger and younger. They're getting it way before 50, like to learn to speak up for themselves, yeah, and learn to drive their own, you know, drive their own decisions and drive their own life and drive, you know, open their mouth and speak up. If something doesn't feel right, you still have, I guess the word would be sovereignty over your life and over your body.
Yeah.
And over your choices.
So do you do any work with, you know, survivors, like cancer survivors, to help them? I mean, because there are a lot of people out there who are impacted by cancer that, you know, they're still not in that spot. So, you know, do you do any coaching with that population?
I would love to. I haven't focused there. Now I have had clients that have that. But, you know, that's something I haven't really thought about. I think, again, it's like what you said. It's the settling into this is I'm joined that club I don't want to belong to. Right.
Yeah.
but I'm here. And why would I not bring? That makes perfect sense, what you said. Yeah. And I really have honestly not. I've thought about, you know, I coach all different kinds of women in business. They're not always in business either, because the work I do is part healing and part business and part, you know, personal development, but the work usually runs into, but not always. And, you know, I started that journey really from a near-death experience, but that would have to be a whole nother call, but that started in my 30s. So it was a long way from where I was to where I am now. And the cancer journey has been certainly on the end of a long journey.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like, I like to call it walking the path of the wounded healer.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, sometimes when we go through a traumatic and then healing process, that sometimes leads us to a place that may end up becoming a business, right? Like, I know you said that not everybody's in a business, but, you know, for many people, you know, I can think about Stephanie McLeod. She was a recent guest on the podcast, and she's an art therapist, and her mom had breast cancer, and, you know, it was a very traumatic experience for her. And she took, like, I'm getting chills thinking about it, but, you know, she took that experience and she became an art therapist with that, you know, through that experience. And becoming an art therapist was super healing for her. And then she ended up with breast cancer herself. So, you know, there can be that, you know, kind of exploration, if you will, through that healing process. Yeah. So, you know, I have tons of ideas. And so maybe you and I at some point need to have a conversation offline to see how we can.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love that.
See how we can make that happen. So, oh my gosh. Well, I just have to tell you that I've enjoyed so much talking to you. You know, your story is powerful. I mean, just the work that you do in general is, you know, amazing. And I feel like we need more people out there that are doing that kind of work, because, you know, again, I can't say it enough, but, you know, when we're kind of put in this situation, we do feel like we've lost our power. We feel like we've lost our voice, and that decisions are being taken away from us. And, you know, I want cancer survivors, regardless of whatever kind of cancer it is, to walk away from that experience feeling like they still have their power and their voice, and that they're worthy and loved. And gosh, I'm going to make myself cry.
And me too.
Yeah, like I just, we need people out there who are doing that kind of work. So thank you for doing that kind of work, even if your specific focus isn't on survivors yet.
Right? I kind of like that. I think I could have my own little division of that. I like that. I just got chills when you said that, by the way. So I was like, whoa, there might be something to that. So yeah. Chills are confirming in my world.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Well,
yeah.
So thank you for sharing your time with me, sharing your story, and you know, just thank you for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm really glad we connected, and I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Actually, I've learned a lot too. So I hope it's beneficial and helpful for anybody that's listening.
Oh, I have no doubt. None whatsoever.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Behind the Pink Ribbon. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you or anyone you know would be interested in sharing your story, please send an email to podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com.
Thinking about advertising on this podcast? Our ads not only create awareness for your brand, but also contribute to the continued growth and support of this show. Email us today and be on our next episode. Email podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com for more information. You've been listening to Behind the Pink Ribbon, produced by American Creative Consulting, mixed and mastered at Riverview Podcasting Studios. For more information, please visit designbyacc.com.